Welcome back to the Walking Dead podcast by LSG Media. I'm Dean.
I'm Matthew.
On this week's episode, we are talking about Season 8, Episode 2, The Damned. Jesus loves the little saviors. Jesus loves the little saviors.
Yes, if you know any more lyrics than that, I'm going to be disturbed.
Do, 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 do. Is it saviors? Do say prayers. That's all I know. What's up, Matt?
How's it going?
Doing well, buddy.
Auspicious beginning.
You said that last time. You said auspicious beginning last time.
Because I have the same feeling that I had last time.
Why do you? Do you have something? Do you have something critical to say about the Damned?
No, is that I am. Hey, baby, I'm here for your thoughts. I'm here for your thoughts. I want Dean's impressions.
You want my impressions of the Damned?
Of the Damned? Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, sight. The Walking Dead. You know, it's cool. It's a cool show on Sunday. I watch it. I do a podcast about it. It's a good time.
All right.
Yeah, man. So,
wow, curb your enthusiasm, bud. Slow down. Pace yourself.
All right. Hold on. Let me get a sip of my drink.
Hemming and hawing. Hemming up this big old pair of Walking Dead pants. It was a long time.
I don't know. We're in a bit of a me and the show are in a bit of a downturn. But I'm gonna
you guys
try.
Aren't fucking lately. Let's just cut to the. You are not fucking lately.
It's true. We're
Sex
not fucking
life is shit.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, when we finally get around to it, it's nice. But we've just been so busy, you know.
Are you there? Oh shit! We're getting silly, internet.
Walking Dead has no. You know, Walking Dead works a lot of hours, and I keep weird hours.
It's tired.
You know, I routinely have headaches. You know, once in a while, though, if the Walking Dead's drunk and maybe I've had a little bit of whiskey, then, you know, we awkwardly fumble through clothing and blankets and get to the fucking. We find...
You just push it out through the... through the zipper of your pajamas.
That's right.
Lazily.
Yep. And I pull down the I kick off my footy PJs. I keep my nightcap hat on though, like the man who
you
hears
pop off your little ass flap.
Yeah, I keep the fucking little nightcap hat on, like the one the guy waiting for St. Nicholas, that guy.
Like Pinocchio's dad, Geppetto.
Yeah, you know the guy who gets up in the middle of the night because he hears Santa Claus on the roof, that hat. I keep that hat on because that's a cute. And I get a candle and I run around. I'm like, ooh, it's this.
So in other words, not fucking at all, not in them clothes.
You know, I mean, there's real heavy petting at times. I don't know. Yeah, man, there was some cool shit. There's some cool shit this week. I like some of the stuff that happened this week. I'm going to try to be a professional, man. This isn't my... By the way, I have to take an issue with some people.
Ooh.
Some listeners.
Call them out. Oh, some listeners. Yeah. Oh. Ooh.
I forget which listeners, but you know who they are.
I'm going to call them out by name. I don't remember their names, but...
How dare you listeners call me negative? I think I'm having a blast. I'm having a good time. Okay? That's it. That's my speech.
Savaging your child.
That's
having
my
a blast.
That's my speech.
All right. Okay.
There's a couple cool parts in this though, right? Tiger kills a guy, I like that. Right?
You know what? Just on that note, Dean.
Yes.
So we're going to counter those listener comments that we've been a bunch of negative Nancys.
Wouldn't negative... Wait. Hold on. Wouldn't negative be more like this? Hand on the table. Like that.
just that the whole vocal time. Affect loudly.
The whole time? That?
I'm so mad.
like that. Like, I don't want to be that guy. I want to have fun at least if it's, you know, fucking goofy. I want to have a good time.
It's a little silly. But no, I want to, let's start first with what specifically we liked about the show, which this episode, just fucking anything, any scene, anything that happened, character shit, action shit. I don't know. What did you walk away with being like, that is the, you said there was some cool shit in here. What was the cool shit?
Just for you, coming out strong, coming out of the game. Me. The shot of Rick going through the hallway and it's blue.
It's dope.
That was a great shot. I thought that was really awesome.
They still pull off some really good singular images like that every now and then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I liked that. I didn't mind.
So we got one in the like, and we're already down to didn't mind. Is that what we? Is that what you're fucking saying?
I liked. I like the episode structure. There we go. That was a huge plus. Oh yeah, happy Halloween. The chat's reminding me. That was a huge plus, bro. Another thing. Yes, TK brings up a good point. Finding a baby was cool.
What is it?
Yep. Yep. I thought
that's
that was
funny.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know what the baby's doing there, but
baby stuff.
Mm.
Hanging out.
Yeah. Let me clarify what I'm trying to say here. So, structure-wise, I like that we have just kind of pure action, as we talked about.
Yeah, like that the episode was action-driven.
Yeah, it was action-driven. We're not dicking around. It's all out war, right?
Right. That's what I was talking about last week. Like, that's what I was hoping that we're going to get into that pattern, that routine mm-hmm. of, like, for the majority of this season, that this is warfare time. This is, like, the war era of the show. And every episode is going to be either in the midst of it or about it, you know, about preparing for it, about countering it, something.
Yeah.
I want them to stay on target. And so far they have.
Yeah, I like that. But so I like the structure, but let's talk about the execution of the episode. Well, I don't know what else. What do you got?
I fucking loved the moment when the saviors at the outpost that they just hardcore ambush realized that, you know, like she even calls them, you know, the commander woman of this outpost. She's like, they're too chicken shit to move in on us. Just, you know, let's push out towards them. And their only strategy so far was just keeping them hemmed into that courtyard, like keeping heavy fire on them so they could not leave and couldn't retreat in or anything. And they just let the zombified versions of them, of the ones that they actually killed, start to press on the rest of them and take them. Like, I actually really liked it. I thought that was fucking awesome when their fallen comrades started getting up and getting after them. Like, that was a tool of their strategy. That was really cool. I enjoyed that.
Yeah. I have a question. Mm-hmm. With the implication of skilled snipers, how come they're not engaging these guys from further away?
I'll never understand that.
It's just weird. I don't know. It's a weird, I mean, I don't know. The, here's one of the things. The actual action itself needs work, right?
Yeah.
I think that's the problem. Like do you remember when they escaped Terminus? It was pretty cool. I mean, it was fucking awesome. I feel like one of the issues I'm experiencing when I watch this show, I think that they're not consistently using blanks, which is a problem. They're doing a lot of post-production machine gun fire noises, and it drives me fucking crazy. I know that's such a dumb thing to nitpick on, but it bothers the shit out of me. Like I see no recoil in like really weird flashes and, you know, the action on some of these guns being locked back as if they are out of ammunition when they're still like waving their guns around.
The recoil seeming real non-existent.
It's non-existent because it's all...
It's like they're just waving a laser gun.
Post kind of like production shit. In the sustained fire, like Aaron's raid was not good.
Okay, so here's what I want to say about that. Like, and that the problem, the overall, if I say I was going to have an issue with this episode, what I'm worried more about is kind of what you're worried about, of like the actual nitty gritty of the action itself. Like, I like the concept. I liked what they're doing. I love them just the scene of how the opening I fucking loved. I thought it was so great. Just the saviors thinking they have, they already know that people are coming. They're like, oh, it's like a dozen of them, you know, get ready. You know, they're just kind of preparing, but they think they have more time than they actually do. And when she starts to realize what's really happening, and we cut to the shot of just all their cars just roaring to a stop and just start unloading on them, that was fucking great. Like, I love this ambush, this aggressiveness. Like, them seeing them on the offensive like this is cool. I like their you know, three-pronged, you know, strike that we get to bounce across, you know, the structure. I like all of the stuff in the broad, but then when we have close-up shots of, like, what you're saying, of, like, you know, Aaron firing away, of Eric firing away, you know, Tobin shooting, you know, there's these moments where you're looking at them and you're like, it's the up-close stuff where the action kind of fumbles. Like, they have a great idea, like, on paper, you know, like, the blueprint for this is cool, it's a good sequence, but then it's something in the execution that gets a little lost. Like, they fucking need, I don't know, a Michael Mann action fight choreographer to come in here and help them out with this shit. Like, the ideas are here. The skeleton for a fucking great sequence is here, gets a little sloppy in the execution.
Correct. And that's what I meant by structure. In that, and what I mean by structure is you have three different raids going on. I thought the editing back and forth was good, but the execution is the issue. And you know, one of the things we talked about last week was, wouldn't it be cool if they had this almost Band of Brothers approach, which is, we're going to run this like the show Band of Brothers, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to do a lot of combat. It's going to matter. We're going to use the combat to create tension and make it interesting. And to do that, you have to make your combat believable in the way it is, people are witnessing it. Now, there are plenty of people who would watch this episode and go, wow, the combat was so awesome. And that's cool. And I wish I could be that person. But I have a different standard for that kind of shit. And it's not because...
It feels light. It feels,
yeah,
like...
It feels light. Airy. It feels... you know? Yes, it feels like a little bit airy, like a little bit of post-production muzzle flash and gunfire noises and actors just waving fucking, you know, guns around with, and not really feeling the weight of, and there are shots where I had to go, okay, those are blanks, but a lot of the times I don't think they are, and I think it really harms it if that's the thing. Now, my point in saying this is, if they're going to do this whole Band of Brothers kind of thing, or at least that's what we're calling it, then you have to make sure when you do that thing, you do it really well. You have to make it really believable. You have to make the weapons play feel like something very special, right?
And yeah, I mean, it's got to be... And it's something that I feel like they maybe just weren't, and this is their fault, you know, they're not prepared for the amount of combat that they must have known they were walking into, going into this arc this season, you know, ending last season with it. It's war. Like, whereas I would even be more okay with giving it a pass in earlier episodes and earlier seasons, maybe. I'm like, nah, man, this is the season, you gotta get that shit right, you gotta get that on lock.
Well, we've seen them do it pretty well in the past.
At times.
Right. Yeah, you have to, we've seen them do it pretty well in the past, and I think that's the thing. TK in the chat says, sorry, I lost my chat, got it back. He says, have these people look like they've held a weapon before? And that's a huge thing. You can tell that there really is no guy on the set going, okay, this is how you hold a rifle. This is what you do. There are times where, like, stocks aren't even in shoulders. It's just, and I'm not talking about blind firing over the car, like, you know, fucking Grand Theft Auto. Like, I understand an untrained guy might stick a gun over the top of a car and fire without actually aiming. There's shit like that.
A million videos of insurgents doing that shit.
Absolutely.
For real on the internet.
Absolutely. And then plenty of those guys
are getting wasted.
And so, some of them are super trained too. So it kind of just depends. Like, I feel like, should they be better at handling weapons at this point? Probably. But what I definitely know is that when weapons are being fired, I want it to feel like weapons are being fired when I'm watching it. And I just kind of feel like you said, I think when you called it airy or light and airy, it is. It's like, you know, it's like comparing Mozart's light music to Beethoven's like pounding banging that I want. You know what I'm saying? That's a terrible comparison because Mozart's like a fucking genius, but you know what I'm trying to say. It doesn't the same, it does not ever really feel overly dangerous. And that, it's funny, that became real apparent to me this time around. And I thought, I'm not really worried about anybody dying right now. And I'm not even sure I care if any of them do.
Yeah.
Do you know what
I
mean?
Not a great place to be.
Yeah. Not a great place to be. But I know that we've seen good combat out of the show before, which is too bad. But then I wonder, like, a guy like Nicotero, he might be the guy you want when there's a pond and you have a bunch of cool walkers and they're climbing up over the top of the boats and, you know, shit like that.
Shit melted onto the pavement.
Yeah, but just
all that good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, I'm watching it right now where they roll up and they just, there's a bunch of them. Everybody has a different gun and they're all just firing at these guys, like shooting at them before the title screen comes up.
Right.
So, and then there's just thoughts of execution. Like, okay, if that's what's going on, then why don't they fall back? How are they cut off from the building that they're attacked at? These are the logistical questions I just don't understand. Mm-hmm. In this situation, and that's okay. They roll up on you. They clearly ambush you. These guys have ammunition for days, and then you just start to return fire because you don't want to be pushed off of your spot, right? Your objective, we'll call it for fun. And I'm just thinking, wouldn't you attempt to at least fall back into some kind of cover where you can sort of control it? Like I don't know, but I would imagine that if you could get your guys back inside and create choke points in
about the saviors.
The saviors.
Yeah.
Fall back inside and create choke points. I mean, you got brick buildings there. They're not going to shoot you through the brick buildings. It's been established they can't really aim very well, except for whoever they have on sniper details, right? So maybe falling back is the move into some kind of, I mean, you're so caught with your pants down in a sense.
Totally.
Because the engagement's so close.
Super close. Yeah. I mean, there are people shooting at each other from like 10 yards away, 12 yards away.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. I'm not sure I would stay. I mean, I
think that their strategy, as far as like Aaron's people, I think their strategy in this moment is just to get that close and be pouring so much fire on them that they can't even leave cover. Like, I think that was the entirety of their strategy, really. I mean, at one point when they're saying, we got guys coming around from the right side, and Aaron's like, he basically tells them not to move, like hold them back with fire from where you are, but we can't leave our position. We got to stay on top of them and just keep heavy, heavy, heavy suppressive fire on top of all of them. I think they wanted it to be such thick gunfire that nobody could even would even think to stand up from cover and run back toward the building because you're going to get lit up. Like that's the level of gunfire they wanted to like sustain. Which the thing that's to me that's silly about that is, wow, I hope everybody has just a fucking cooler full of ammo because you're going to be firing all day. That's the part that's a reach for me where I'm like, what do you just have? Each of you have, I don't know, 1,000 bullets or more.
Yeah. You need some kind of fucking belt fed gun to like keep them down for so long. They must've went through so many magazines, you know?
Exactly. Cause I think we've seen on this show, I don't know what the exact scientific canon is, but I think if you die, you know, you get shot in the heart and you fall over dead, you got, what would we say? 3 minutes, maybe 2-3 minutes until you become a zombie and get up.
Yeah, so, it varies, but yeah, it seems
it does
to be,
vary.
Yeah,
but I think at the max, maybe 5 or 6 minutes. Within 2.5-3 minutes, you're gonna have people who got killed first getting up, and so I think, and we got to remember too with the intercutting, it kind of I think you could basically say Aaron's raid, everything that happens in it, all the way up to Eric getting shot and everything, and then kind of pulling back. It probably is only like 10 minutes. Like the rest of the stuff takes place a little over, you know, a longer period of time, but I think Aaron's raid is actually the more condensed timeline.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. And then I was thinking, man, if either one of these groups had some sort of explosives, it would be a game fucking over. Like
just like a Red Dead Redemption, just handful of dynamite you just toss out there.
Anything to get them out of their fucking cover, man. Fucking stick a dynamite.
You know what? The fucking saviors right there are wishing for? Fucking smoke. Fucking smoke grenade. Like, shit. Just that. Just anything to give you some visual cover to move. Like, anything at all.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm rewatching the initial hit, which is essentially like a drive-by, more like a drive-up in plant. And, the muzzle flashes drive me nuts. But I know. They're really out in the open. Like, they're really out in the open, and they're caught completely off guard. One, totally. 2, 3 cars, and they're just, you know, they open fire on them pretty significantly. And that's when they roll out of their cars and they come out and they're just kind of shooting at the guys, shooting into them. We got one guy reaching over the hood, shooting, Aaron shooting at everybody, and they're clearly caught off guard.
Oh, yeah. They were not ready.
Crazy. Yeah, man. They got nothing. They got nothing to hide behind. No cover. No, just the building where they're at.
Yeah. Yeah, they I mean, like, they are pushed immediately up against it, basically.
Mm-hmm. But
on that, should we just go ahead and run through kind of the rest of this raid and Aaron's whole chunk of the story? I mean, it won't take too long.
Yeah, for sure. I was thinking we're going to break it down by raid.
Yeah.
Probably the easiest way to do it, right?
So Aaron's raid overall strategy, if it's a Sicario meeting room, which is what they should be fucking doing, which I don't know if they really are, Sicario pre-raid meeting, I would say the overall tactic, you know, what is our overall thrusting action for this strategy? Lots of fire, non-stop fire. Everybody be shooting constantly. We're going to all be shooting. Not even so worried about taking people out, just keeping everybody super, super duper pinned down and, you know, taking out the people you can. That's the overall strategy here.
Right, but what is the goal?
Right. To take out enough people that they have to worry more about the zombies, I think.
Okay,
keep them pinned in there with gunfire the zombies.
Right, what I'm trying to figure out is what if the goal is to kill them, which I imagine that's the goal, mm-hmm. then that's the goal. Like, I don't, because let's just for fun, suppose that you had 10 guys attack and they had 10 guys in there and your mission was to just keep them suppressed. Then you're sort of taking 10 of your assets off the table for 10 of their assets. So it's a wash. There's no victory there, right?
Yeah, because everybody's just pinning your bills.
Because everyone's just like, okay, we're going to have a gunfight here for no reason. So obviously, like, I could see if it was like, oh, we got 3 guys and we're out in the tree line and we have an MG-42 and we're going to suppress these 30 fucking guys. That's a win, right? Keep those 30 guys, maybe kill a few, but for the most part, we're going to spend 10, 15 minutes suppressing them with an MG-42 from the fucking tree line. Because there's only right. 3 of us crewing this gun and all these fucking guys cannot move. Or like a sniper. Like a sniper can fucking pin a whole platoon down and you're like, where the fuck is he? We can't go anywhere. Now, that's a win. What you don't want to do is trade equal numbers for equal numbers, especially when you're outnumbered, right?
Very good point.
So the saviors have the numbers. So my guess is what we're trying to see here is a smaller group keeping a larger group tied up so the other guys can do their shit, right?
And I would say as far as, like, I'm imagining if Rick, you know, was the deviser of this whole plan, which probably was.
Right.
He's probably thinking that other than a handful of people in Aaron's crew, this is probably the least martial of their people. These are Alexandrians and hilltop people who are not fucking fighters being given guns. And so they're trying to figure out a strategy of, like, all right, how can we make it benefit us with the lesser trained people? Let's not go in there and get into an aggressive, like, moving in on them gunfight because we're going to lose people, a lot of them. So if we can roll in with a lot of cover and a lot of guns, take out some of their people and stay behind our cover and let those people reanimate as zombies and take out the rest, lowers their chances of losing, you know, more of their own. That's my take on their strategy here.
Got it. Yeah. And our board TK421 is dropping actual military science on us by saying force multiplier, which is kind of what I was saying instinctively without knowing what the fuck it was called, which is having
to be a general.
I should be. Fucking TK would hire me. It's here's kind of a quick wiki. In military science, force multiplication is an attribute or a combination of attributes that dramatically increase the effectiveness of an item or group, giving any given number of troops or weapons the ability to accomplish greater things than without it. So that's kind of a good example. So 3 guys with an MG-42 against these fucking jerk-offs sitting around with their pea shooters, and I'm 150 yards away, then you're probably going to be fucked until you can kind of zero into me and force me out with some sort of artillery or sniper or whatever the fuck. So I think so the goal has to be we're here to kill all them in by a way of, to me, I feel like this was supposed to be a surprise attack in which we killed a bunch of Negan's men. That's the, because right. I don't think they are thinking about it any other way based on the way they handle weapons. I think they were just like, let's roll up on these fools like it's fucking Boys in the Hood, right? Fucking drop these fools before they can react and get
let's
a win.
Shoot this old Korean couple at the fucking convenience store.
Yeah, I think.
For no reason.
Yeah, I think you get to a point where if you roll in there with your fucking armor, your armored vehicles, and you start fighting them, I feel like the longer that fight goes on, the lower your chances get of success.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And I think that's because you're no longer mobile. Like, They have a defensive fortification. You're not fucking mobile. They have reinforcements maybe in that building. So I kind of feel like this is one of those, you hit them, you fucking come in, smash them, and then roll the fuck out. I think the longer they stay, meaning Aaron, the higher chance of the Saviors sort of finally overtaking them with reinforcements. Yeah. But it's fun to think
about. I'm sure Aaron learned that bitter lesson while he watched his boyfriend start to bleed out. Whoops, we should have done this a little faster.
Yeah,
maybe.
Lost some people. Tobin got shot, but that's fine. He's okay. 7'6", 2 round in the shoulder. He's good.
He's good. Hey, now my arm doesn't get fucking severed or anything. I'm good.
He's fine. No big deal. His shoulder socket, his clavicle, his fucking ribs all got destroyed by that round, but he's good. I'm good.
The top of your lung isn't anywhere near that. You're fine. You're totally good.
I talked to a guy who was on a patrol in Iraq, and he got shot, and he had the fucking body armor on that could withstand. I can't remember how they talk about it. They talk about how it's rated, and it's essentially rated for 1.762 round direct hit. So after one, it's done. It's gone. If you got hit with two, you're Fucksville. And he got hit with one, and he said it felt like a baseball player hit him in the chest with a sledgehammer.
Jesus.
And he was like, yeah, that was, he says, I don't really remember what happened after that, other than the building where it was got totally fucked up by the rest of the guys on his patrol, which is pretty wild. So it was a crazy story.
What's so weird about movies and TV shows, they oddly get that right, but the rest of the shit wrong. Like, you'll see, it's such a movie cliche for a guy to get shot in the vest and go down, and people think he's dead. And
totally.
Then, and he surprises the bad guys and shoots him, and he's like so alive, and he's like, oh, but it hurt so much, oh, it took me down.
Yes, that's so true.
But in other parts of the movie, you see a guy take an actual bullet through the shoulder, and they're just like, ah, it's fine.
It's so true. So true.
I'm like, dude, if it hurts so much right in the center of your bulletproof vest, that shit ricocheting around in your fucking body would be so much worse. Dumbasses.
Too funny.
Silly. Silly.
Anyway, let's talk. Let's episode back it up. Francine got shot?
Yeah, she took one in the shoulder, too.
I thought she I think she took center, man. But plow in the chest bone.
I don't remember exactly where she took it, but I remember her not getting up and being all sprightly like Tobin. Tobin's all like, ah, ooh, stinger, yowzers, but I'm okay. And then she's like, and like just kind of laying there. And I'm like, oh, fuck. I think
that's
she took one.
Tobin's
worse.
Got a little Forrest Gump in him.
He's got a little corn fed.
He's got a little Forrest Gump in him where he's like, something bit me. Something bit me on the shoulder.
I better keep shooting my pow-pow gun at the bad guys.
Yeah, I think so. I think he's
I pet this rabbit too hard.
Yeah, a little of mice and men, this guy. He didn't quite feel it.
Don't let him hold your pet parakeet.
Three days later, when it's all infected, he'll just be like, I'm going to sleep now. And then he dies. That's just what happens.
Just gangrene, just dripping out of it.
Sweating bullets.
Holding his blankie. I'm going to go sleep. I'm tired.
Night, night. He just lays out. Fuck.
Oh, shit.
Some bit me. So, Jenny's got AIDS.
I told you, Tobin, they're not called ow-ow rocks. They're bullets.
Oh, man. Them naughty rocks bit me.
The boo-boo rocks got me again.
Mm-hmm. I had scarlet fever as a kid, never recovered. That's why I'm a bit can't get right.
It's tough growing up in the 1930s. Fucking hell. All right. So what else happens?
Probably send me to Vietnam.
I'm poor. It works out great.
God bless America.
Holy shit. We're going. Are we going there? Did this just turn into Boar on the 4th of July?
I can't get right. Give me an M16. I don't know. What the fuck?
Jesus. You won't let me vote, but let me kill people.
I just know to shoot the one with the guys that are different. Jesus. That's all they told you? Yep.
Yep.
This is how I field strip my M16. Mm-hmm.
Just beating it over a rock. Fuck.
Fucking
we have to
guy.
Get him a new rifle every week, but it does keep him occupied. Keeps him from killing all of the fucking pets.
Yikes.
All right, that's so Walking
Tobin.
Dead.
That's Tobin's side story.
We've really fleshed out the character more than the show has. I'll give you that.
That's
we
true.
We can say that.
That's true.
Shit.
By the way, you know what I probably wouldn't wear if I was Jesus? I probably wouldn't wear massive fucking winter gloves if I was handling a pistol.
Yeah, that shit's pissing me off.
I mean,
I'm not gonna lie.
Get some operator really gloves. Even mechanic gloves would be better. Something a little tighter to the
that's
finger.
That's what most military dudes wear. You'll see those just mechanics gloves with like the fucking knuckle guards. Like,
I'm such a nerd. I shoot with those too. Like those fucking mechanic gloves. I'm such a nerd.
You know what? And see that actually, I want to come back to like finishing up this like raid timeline, just kind of wrapping that part up. There's not too much else to say, but I want to get on to something.
Oh yeah, with our boy Aaron, and he'd run some people over, right? Yeah. His boyfriend's like so annoying.
I know, man. I'm like, dude, I know you kind of need all hands on deck, but this is one of the
I'm
people you're
I'm a real
like,
boy with real dreams.
He does look like a mannequin that was given life through a little girl's
he
wish.
He so does. I'm a He's real boy like, with real dreams. And I want to be good at things, too. I don't want to be a bitch that sits at home and makes pasta. That's this guy, right?
That's it. Like, I'm like, you keep this dude on home defense. Like, Aaron can go out with the people. Fucking, you can lead the raid. You keep your boyfriend at home. He's not the warrior.
Yeah.
All right? Sorry.
Sorry.
That all said, I did like him running the dudes over. That's kind of cool. It's fun.
Who, Aaron?
Yeah, when he ran the guys over.
Yeah.
He sprayed a little fire at him and then just drove them over. It's like, that's good. I'm into it. But no, I wanted to say one thing that I've been wanting
little
to,
gems,
to
right?
get to.
I mean, you dig long enough.
It's the little things that keep a marriage alive.
Yeah, it's fucking, it's I'll tell you what, things. It's harder to get fucking blood diamonds in Africa, but that's okay. Just kidding.
Fuck.
Continue.
But no, one thing I've been wanting to say is that.
I'm looking at it now. They're so aggravating. Look at me. I got no cover. Fuck.
Oh, I just can't. Ooh. Schweppes. Oh.
Tobin's fucking rifle is wasted on him. He should get a lollipop.
Oh, fuck.
In a fucking etch-a-sketch.
How many licks does it
take? Give me
that
fucking rifle, you nitwit. Here's a lollipop. Stay away from the cat.
But no. What I want to fucking say is is the fact, like, I think a perfect example is Jesus with his gloves. Like, that to me is, like, I'm glad you brought it up because it's, like, the perfect summary of an example that I've been thinking about with the show for a while that I think is a problem for it. I don't know where it would even have started. I couldn't bullseye that just off the top of my head. Maybe somewhere in season 3, somewhere in season 4. But the showrunners and everybody involved decided to really adhere to the comic bookiness of it all and the comic book feel of everything and keeping these characters looking like damn near identical to the way they look in the comics, which I think we're seeing not translating well at this point. Because, I mean, like, a lot of the stuff that people are starting to get tired of with the show and being like, oh, it's just silly, is like what you said. Jesus wearing these fucking gloves and his little fucking knit hat. Negan, this big bad guy with the way he talks and leans and his fucking baseball bat. And, like, that's all – everybody, like, jerks off to that shit in the comics. You're like, oh, it's just so crazy and he's so wild and he talks about his balls every 3 seconds. But then when you see real people doing it, it's fucking silly. Like, it's silly.
Yeah.
And I think it's a point where I had never really thought about it until this week's episode, of like, they should have adapted it a little more. Like, you see that, you know, you see the same credit every week, adapted to television by so-and-so-and-so-and-so. I'm like, you should have done your job a little more. You should
adapted
have pushed
to
a
television
little harder.
By Scott Gimple's bitch.
Because, like, I think there are certain things, like, Jesus is a perfect example of, like, this is now, we're filming this as a real show with real people. Let's take those fucking gloves off. Let's get rid of this leather trench coat. That's some cool shit to look at in a comic book that does not translate well to real people wearing and doing and having those things. Like, that's something you adapt and change a little bit. Like, Jesus maybe he shouldn't be named Jesus. There's also that. That's maybe a little comic book bullshit. We have a guy named Ezekiel with a fucking tiger that eats people. Eh, I don't know if we should. Maybe he shouldn't. Maybe we should at least have him not talk like that. Like, that stuff that sounds cool because it was cool in a fucking animated write-em-up book about your silly stories and your fun zombies.
You know what else I wouldn't wear if I knew I was going on a protracted assault mission? Cowboy boots and jeans.
Fucking A, dude.
Like, stop. What are you guys wearing? Like, I find Ezekiel's dress more real. Like, even like some knee pads and elbow pads. Like, okay, man. Like, cool. Like, we might fall down and smash through shit. And that's what I mean. Just little things like this drive me crazy. When the guys get sniped before Rick's guys go in, it looks like somebody squirted some jelly on the thing. Fucking have their heads blow up, the door windows, the windows behind them go bang and break, and like, yeah, they're shot with fucking rifles in the head, dude. Instead of just like, pshin, like little blood spot. I'm like, come on, bro.
Yeah,
I need
that
more.
Is one thing that has always annoyed me with headshots in movies and TV shows, where you just see like a little, like it's like a little berry fart, like, yeah. And I'm like, do you think the bullet just stopped? Like, what do you think it happened?
Especially,
like, no, like pieces
rifle.
Of their skull are flying off and the bullet's going through.
Yeah, and maybe it was, you know, I don't know, whatever. But so yeah, I don't know. What else you want to say about Aaron's action?
Well, I mean, basically, it ends up with, they start taking losses. They start getting hit here by the end and taking some losses. And, you know, they have to pull out, if I'm remembering correctly. They have to finally get out of there. I mean, and they see their strategy working as far as, you know, the zombified saviors are getting up, are taking out a lot of the remaining people. And that's it. We leave there. You know, Aaron starts to get Eric out of there. And that's that. They have taken out their section that they were, you know, assigned to take out.
Right. I wanted more of a fight from the head lady. The walker just bites her. She's like, oh no, what's...
Yeah.
I think her name is Mara.
Who cares?
Yeah. fair. Touche.
I'm like, that's one of those where I'm like, I think it's important if you're the host of a podcast and know all the characters' names. Her name, fuck her name.
Also,
whatever.
Can somebody...
She's dead.
Can somebody that speaks French tell me, you know, we always say touche, and that's like, mm-hmm, like a touch in fencing. Right? I'm pretty sure. I might be wrong about that. But if you ever watch fencing, they're like, touche. That's how they touche. Say it. They say it super fast, like touche. I think we touche just say touche because we don't know how to fucking talk right. I don't know. Somebody help me out. Anyway.
yeah, French listeners.
French listeners, is it touche? I'm never going to stop saying touche because it sounds better. But I was watching fencing once. Don't ask me why. Probably Olympics.
It sounds better in English. Maybe it sounds better in French that way. But hey, in English, it's touche. Sorry.
I was just thinking of how quickly that guy would kill me with a rapier if he had one. Those Olympic guys. He'd kill me in fucking 2 seconds. Right in the neck. He's like, you're like fucking, it looks like he's like 18 feet away. And then he stabs you in the neck. They're so fucking fast.
So fast. You're trying to say touche as it just goes through your windpipe and out the back of your neck.
Brutal.
Oh, fuck.
There you go.
There we go.
So, where were we?
Well, we have a choose your own adventure situation here. Which path do you want to go down? Do you want to go ahead and do the old Carol and Ezekiel will they or won't they path?
Jesus Christ, yes.
Do we go down the Rick and Daryl?
Rick and Daryl.
They got a baby.
Well, we got Morgan and Tara. I mean,
oh, that's true. Yeah,
we got a bunch of shit here. Yeah. So let's talk about. Let's just. Do you want to bang out Morgan?
Let's bang Morgan.
Oh, okay.
Oh yeah.
I cleared that room.
I cleared it. So we see that they are tasked with taking out the same outpost that started basically all of the antagonism between the Saviors and Rick. The one that Rick took out for the hilltop that Gregory was like, just go in there and kill them all for us. And they did. And this is the satellite outpost where they took them all out. And pretty much all of their run-ins with the Saviors began here. But now they have a moat of zombies, which I thought was actually kind of a cool little touch. I'll admit, man, I still, some zombie stuff that I just fucking love, I'm always going to be a sucker for it, is using zombies in an offensive way or a defensive way. Like,
I
using
agree.
Them as part of your tactics. I'm like, that's so dope. Because that totally, and that makes sense as far as, like, they've been in a world overrun by zombies for years now. Years. So it comes to the point where you... you know, human beings, what can they do? Adapt and change and overcome. And at this point, zombies are just another part of nature, like fucking wind and rain. And it's like, you're going to have to find a way to use it, to get around it, to just deal with it. And I totally believe the idea that people would be like rounding them up and just like, all right, let's make a defensive line with them. Mm-hmm. It's cool shit, man. I like that.
Yeah. Their defense is terrible, though. They didn't learn, did they? Mm-mm. These guys just walk in with pistols and just start capping people.
Exactly. It's like, what the fuck? See? What? They got real cocky and over a line. They're like, yeah, we got a zombie moat now. We're good. We can keep four people here on the outside with a pistol.
I guess.
What? Come on, man. You can't rely. You can't be your crutch.
Doors. What if the doors are locked? What was their plan? Like, know, did they have a sledgehammer or shotguns or some shit?
Shoot off the doorknob.
Like a fucking, like a Western, like a cheesy old Western. Shoot off the things. Shoot the guy's belt off.
Yep.
That's the plan. Door is conveniently wide open, so of course they just roll in. Why wouldn't they? But
that's it. Dude, and I like this this shot here when Morgan goes over and bangs on the fence enough to get the only two guards there to come over, and they get taken out. How the
by
long
the way, by
lingered.
Who? Legolas?
Evidently.
Did Legolas take them out? Because that is some expert bowmanship.
That was speedy as shit. Like, too speedy. Yeah.
I hear Robin Hood has been studying that YouTube video, trying to figure out that shot. It's pretty good, bro.
How did she do it?
Two quick arrows, whatever. It's fine.
Yeah, I'll take it. I'll accept. That shot of Morgan, you know, once they are, you know, his view is overcome by just all of the zombies in the moat pressing up against the fence, and he just stands there staring into them. That was creepy, man. Like, I'm at the point where I'm like a little bit creeped out by Morgan. I'm like, fuck, you are really going down that path again in like a disturbing way.
Well, before we get there, yeah. Let's talk about, so they enter the room, they shoot a guy. Okay, so here's, I'm sorry, I'm gonna nitpick, but they're forcing me to nitpick, right? They're forcing my hand, Matthew. They walk in, Jesus turns, shoots a guy, almost shoots Tara in the back of the head, glad he doesn't. Shoots a guy, the guy does the like whiplash neck thing and he falls and Morgan catches him. And then there's two guys at the end of the hall. They shoot those guys and they drop onto their knees and then conveniently break their falls with their hands.
Dude, shot
brutal.
Is so bad.
It's so fucking brutal.
Bad. I rewatched
There's
it.
No blood. There's no, it's all, no. I think it's all post-production.
Yeah.
I think they just walk over and they're like, and point and scene. All right, we'll handle it in post.
The second guy they shoot is the worst extra.
He's so bad.
So bad. Like, the one guy turns around, like, he starts to turn and gets taken out, which is like, oh, at least like, oh, he didn't see it coming. He just turns and gets hit. The other guy sees him go down, turns around, and just waits to be shot. Like, he only has like half a second, but he just turns around and is like, and my time to die. Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't even like start to go for a draw or anything. I'm like, dude, make me believe that you were trying to fight back or live. Like, come on. That was silly.
Once the fucking entry element, as it were, with pistols clears the room, all the heavy hitters come in. It's a little backwards, but whatever.
I know.
All like these guys roll in with assault rifles. I'm like, whoa, where the fuck were they 2 minutes ago when we were entering the building?
All right, now bring up the battering ram and the shotguns. Wait, what? Hey, I think you guys read the instructions backwards, actually.
Yeah, it'd be like a castle siege. All the knights roll in and go inside and they start killing shit. And then they're like, cool, roll in the siege tower. It's like, well, we don't need those anymore. So.
It would be more like the squires going in with daggers.
That's true.
Like, and the knights, we're just going to post stuff outside. See you in a minute.
It's goofy.
Silly.
And then you got Uzi. You got fucking Jimmy P pants with the Uzi 9mm. The Uzi 9mm.
Sammy Shakes in his pants.
Fucking Johnny.
Sammy Shakes.
Jimmy. Hey, whoa, whoa. We got all Alabama Shakes in there with his fucking Uzi. The Uzi 9mm. Yeah.
Uzi.
Give me the 12 gauge autoloader. Plasma rifle in the 40-watt range. Hey, just what you see, pal.
Anyway. Give me that crazy rifle you gave me. The 45
ACP with laser sighting. So I can shoot many a Sarah Connors with it.
I'm going to smoke a cigar and take out the compound.
Yeah. Yeah. Well.
Yeah. Old Sammy Shakes, Jimmy P. Pants,
Johnny
Zuzi. Morgan's all like, you're not even firing yet, you little bitch.
Come on, man. I need you to clear with me.
You a little bitch ass, ain't you? Why I made it to Blade Runner and you ain't even in that shit. You an extra.
Acting, motherfucker. Anyway. So, now, the most inexplicable moment happens now in this episode.
Ooh. In the Morgan mm-hmm. thing?
What on earth is The Walking Dead doing?
I don't die.
I don't die. And neither will you, the Uzi 9mm. So, they pop open, and they open a door. Johnny P-Pants opens up with his Uzi. Old blue-eyed devil does too, right?
Yeah. And they all open up.
Yeah. They shoot that fucking William H. Macy lookalike. And then there's three guys behind them, all stacked up. And they definitely have the drop on these guys.
Dude.
And they let themselves get shot. And they do the Alabama shakes. Like Commando.
We're all dead.
I understand that what's his name's a good actor, Lenny James. But man, he's half the actor that Morgan Jones is.
Evidently.
Because Morgan Jones pretends to be shot here and he goes down.
Yeah. What evidently.
Dude, help me. If you don't take this to task, you are not being honest with me, because I know you better than that.
Okay. So here I'm gonna say a couple things. Here's my first, I'm gonna lay down this card. This is my Paladin Walking Dead apologist card. So here's what I'm going to say.
And the way they kick their little bootsies up into the frame after they fall.
The force of the bullets was so much.
Dude, I didn't see Dutch on the other end of that thing with his fucking... Is that his name in Commando? Dutch?
They're a little fucking watching Predator, right now. Predator. Their little bootsies flying into the air.
It's brutal. It's brutal.
Fuck off.
And William H. Macy guy, like, I don't know, bro.
The Shameless dad. Yeah, he's there.
He fucking is there.
Drunk or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that shitty show's about. I don't even remember watching.
My daughter's so fucking hot in that show. And that's what he says.
But no, so here's my Walking Dead apologist take on this. Mm-hmm. Yes, Morgan is the furthest off to the right. I think he is at least more, I'm not saying smarter is the right word, but a little more experienced in combat than these obviously shaky fucks. And he
is that
sees
why
their,
they stand in front of the door when they open it because of all their experience?
Oh my God.
Dude, stand off to the side. What? I don't understand anything ever other than I would kill every major character in Walking Dead if they came to my house. Because I would wait around the corner. They'd come around the corner. They'd be dead.
Well, see, that's it. So Morgan is further off to the side than them, and I think he sees their fucking hesitation, and you see him kind of roll further off to the right and go down and pretend to be dead. Evidently.
Jesus Christ.
And so I think, like, I see him going, okay, these fucks are going to hesitate and get shot. I'm going to have to go down. There's my Walking Dead apologist.
It's terrible.
my non-Walking Dead apologist take is... Yeah, some mobile.
May I cross examine?
Yeah,
I can. Okay, so A, Mr. Anderson, why were your clients standing directly in front of the door on a room entry when they were not sure about the size or disposition of the force behind said door?
Several points I would like to make, Your Honor. The first two, we have already proven via court documents that they were shaky piss pants cowards. They had no idea what was up. Morgan, on the other hand, now it's harder to excuse. Yes, he mm-hmm. was standing in front of the door with them. My only defense there, sir, is that he is not a trained officer and he is actually a crazy guy fighting people with a stick in the woods. And he doesn't know breaching tactics. I am so sorry.
Perhaps not breaching tactics, Your Honor, I'd like to point out that I, Dean, also do not know actual breaching tactics. I just have common sense. Stand off to the side of the door. Do not get shot. But, and Your Honor, if you I'm sorry, and Matthew, if I may ask you this question, sir, why did you allow Johnny P. Pants to continue to wield the gun after he proved that he was unfit for combat? Why did you not disarm him, take the gun over, and have the better weapon that you could control versus letting Johnny P. Pants run amok with the Uzi 9mm?
I want it to be on the court record that I did recommend Johnny P. Pants to go with Eric's casserole contingent and stay home, but that was overlooked by Rick. I'm sorry. I can't influence everything.
All right. And then why did you not open fire when you had initiative on the combatants? Why did you pretend to be shot and fall down? And who's your your acting coach?
Now
it's
that,
really good.
That, sir, I'm gonna stand by as far as Morgan knows, even with his crazy clearing philosophy back in action again. He's not gonna single-handedly take down, I don't know, what is it, like 7-8 guys with a single pistol there. Although he basically does that in the next scene. Fuck. But he's smart enough to say that he's not going to take out an entire crowd.
I did not have sex with Monica Lewinsky. That's what you sound like.
I merely got a Hummer.
I just came in her mouth. That's not sex.
And merely let her vag take a puff off my Padrone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I don't know what's going on in the show, but that's what happened.
That's all I got, baby. Fuck. You know, I'm fucking Atlas over here shouldering the burden of fucking positivity for this goddamn show. Fucking, don't worry. I'm going to fucking call Scott Gimple up and demand payment. Be like, I am fucking carrying the team, bitch.
Too funny.
You need to throw me a bone.
It's a good time. All right. So Morgan pretends to be dead. Do you want to talk about Tara Jesus and shitty Blake Shelton?
This is my least enjoyed storyline of
it's been very fun up until now. It's been amazing, has it? Yeah.
I just, and well, what's...
You might as well just apologize to Karen Lomas right now.
What, this?
Everything.
This shit, hey, I've been positive on a lot.
He's shitty Blake Shelton.
I know he's a positive Pete.
Or P-Pants Dean, but does he not look like a shitty version of Blake Shelton?
You have to remind me who Blake Shelton is.
The voice, the country singer.
Oh, man, go fuck.
All right.
Was he the one who was married to that other one who was on that TV show?
I don't fucking know who marries who, bro.
I don't know who Blake Shelton is.
Also, I am not convinced. Okay, my favorite part of this moment was when shitty Blake Shelton just manhandles Jesus. Because he's so much bigger and stronger looking and more capable.
Looks a lot bigger and stronger.
Way bigger and stronger. Sure. When he has his arm across his forearm against that guy's fucking shitty bird chest, and he's grabbing his fucking...
his avian bones.
His fucking avian bird chest, his shitty fucking genetic chest, and he grabs his shoulder, his hand is... I mean, he just looks like he could rip him to pieces. But no, what's his name? Knows Kung Fu, I guess. I do have a question, though. How come in these situations, when you have the opportunity to get yourself a firearm, how come you don't kill the armed girl and then deal with the unarmed guy?
There you go.
It's weird, right? I have to watch it again. I might be speaking out of school here, but I mean, the guy had the wherewithal to. She's like looking around, you know, thinking about Denise or some shit, and then he just manhandles what's his name. Gets the gun because they're arguing or something, right?
Yeah. Well, this is because
there's a gunshot. There's a distraction. He gets the gun.
Yeah.
He has the gun in his hand when Jesus is on the floor. And this is what I mean. This is just sloppy fucking TV. If you watch it carefully, Jesus is on the floor. He has the gun. Up comes the gun. Bang, bang. Tara dies, right?
That is it.
Why did he think it better to grab this guy? And is it just because they're trying to make it more dramatic?
Yeah, they needed a scene.
It's really sloppy editing. It goes from him cocking the fucking action back on the gun to then him picking up Jesus. It's really brief. It happens quickly.
Yeah, and he's already got him because we need a little standoff scene where the show. What the show was trying to.
He wanted to take a hostage so he could get out of there.
Well, there's that, yeah, where he's saying, he's like, I take the both of you for the insurance policy. Because, you know, Tara does, you know, obviously point out, she's like, you, what are you going to do? There's way too many of us. They're going to fucking waste you. And he's like, well, I got to have the both of you. So that's his whole thing. And from, like, from a show meta perspective, I think they're just trying to prove again, trying to throw, you know, a hitch in the whole thing of like, ah, and they were trying to show mercy and trying to be good. And this guy's a piece of shit. Yep. Trying to do that whole thing.
Yep.
Which is like, I'm not going to lie. There's a part of me that I'm like, it is good and decent of Jesus to be like, look, our fucking guy's literally sitting here on his knees with his hands up in the air. Like, what, you shoot him in the face? Like, that's pretty awful. It's like fucking a shitty thing to be doing. But then there's another part of me that wants season 3 hatchet chopping into the guy's face, Rick, to come back in here and just blow this dude away without even talking to him. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm like, yeah, this is the savior compound, man. Fuck them all. Fuck them all.
It'd be cool. It would be cool if it was more, if it was more of a situation with they didn't, maybe the dilemma is they don't shoot him, they're not going to shoot him, and then they kind of take this guy and maybe later he comes back to haunt them in a sense. Although they've already done that trick too, haven't they?
Mm-hmm. 8 seasons, baby. Yeah, they've been through a lot.
They've already done that trick too.
100 fucking episodes.
Or it could have been cool if they bang the door open and Tara shoots the guy, and then that becomes a dilemma between Jesus and Tara.
Yeah. Honestly,
because now that this guy has attacked them, it's like,
Well, of course.
Of course.
Everybody's
now
on the side of...
Now yeah, blow him away. Nobody cares, right? There's no more moral dilemma.
But then again, that does make mercy a more complicated thing, which I do actually kind of like. You know, the idea of, well, obviously these unarmed people, like at the end of the show, when they have all of them out there, they're basically prisoners of war, and all these unarmed people, and Morgan's ready to be like, yeah, okay, kneel them down, let's fucking kill them all. And we know that they're shitty fuckers, they're saviors, they're kind of the worst, and we saw this guy pretend to be innocent and take advantage of it. So showing them mercy has more weight to it than them actually being a Sally Pee Pants and being like, I don't want to hurt anybody. It's easy to show that guy mercy because he's not a threat.
Mm-hmm.
So there is, I think there's something to be said for he is a threat and we're still going to maintain some kind of compassion. Such a Christly Jesus-like thing to do.
Mm-hmm. But I think it deserves a discussion. I think this warrants some time for us to spend on it, and that's, so a couple things. Number one, how are you treating these people? How are you treating people who are wrapped up with Negan, who surrender and don't put up a fight or aren't even armed for that matter? Like, what do you do in that case? What's the play? So yeah, that's a conversation I think you're supposed to have before you raid.
Yes, dude. See, that's the thought I kept having about this, of like,
they're not prepared. If you're going to take prisoners and you think you can rehabilitate people, because I personally believe that if you kill Negan and you bring down his whole fucking compound, I don't think everybody that's with Negan is a terrible human being. I think they just got caught up in whatever it was he offered, this protection,
well, one thing
this
we talked,
life, right?
We talked a lot about last season was that you see this whole plethora of literal, like this guy pretends to be, but actual workers, people who are just manning gardens and scavenging shit for him, who live there and are not even armed. Like, they're just normal people he's basically taken hostage. So yeah, there's plenty of people there that I think would be happy to jump ship. And that's a thought I had after this. And now again, kind of like I was saying last week, I think a bone you do have to throw this show is that it's the post-apocalypse world. It's not like they literally cannot be prepared for every situation because they can't go to the store and get all the exact supplies they need for every situation. Like, they got what they got. They found what they found. Like, because if they could prepare for this, everybody, just like riot cops, they should all have huge zip ties on their belts. They should all just have
zip ties
ready to take fucking, you know, take prisoners, basically, and people who surrender. You should be ready for that. But I don't think they found, a storage locker full of zip ties in the fucking zombie apocalypse.
Like, right.
Like, there's a part of me that's like, well, how ready can you be?
I think you could probably find a bunch of zip ties.
Okay. Fucking, you're in the back of the town hall meeting, Rick's at the top. You're like, well, I don't know. I think we could find zip ties.
You don't think if they have an assault rifle for every guy in the crew, they couldn't have found zip ties?
That's
fair. What the fuck are you talking about, son?
Well, okay, my only argument there would be that assault rifles matter so much more in this world that more people would be after them and finding them, so that, like, every group of people you come across would have guns, and guns being stored up would be a thing because it's so essential. Zip ties might have
fallen. Wait,
that'd be like trying to find zip locks.
That's backwards economics. What? You just said that they would be in so high demand that they would be everywhere, but there would be tons of available zip ties if nobody's going after them, right?
That, but I mean, like, so let's say, you know, you're a group of people. You, the main thing you need in this world now is food and guns. And no, so any group of people that gets overrun and dies, whatever, they'd have, there'd be guns all over the ground. Or any fortress used to be occupied by people, lots of guns they've gathered up because that's so essential to them. Whereas, like, I don't know, zip ties are probably scattered around more because not people aren't looking for them.
How many zip ties do you think is in the average American's house?
I got none, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, well, you're a fucking jabroni. I'm talking about real people.
Real Clint Eastwoods with fucking WD-40 and flyers and duct tape.
No, man, you fucking walk. I have a fucking bag of zip ties in my house. I guess my point.
I need some. They're good.
All right. Fucking enough about the zip ties. I guess my point is this. My point is
this episode's been brought to you by Ace Hardware. Go on and get some great zip ties today.
By the eighth fucking season, you probably would think, okay, if I'm the leader and my name is Rick, I probably know my people enough to go, okay, chances are they're not going to just slaughter everyone in this place, so we probably need an alternative. That's my point. It's not well planned. Yeah. Like, are you going to kill everyone? Is that the doctrine? Then you better bring your fucking assassins, right? You better not bring Jesus. Is Jesus the guy you bring when the mission is murder all the saviors? Like, that's just dumb.
If I think you that's even, I mean, that's even in St. Mark, where there's definitely a passage in St. Mark of do not bring Jesus on any take no prisoners missions.
It's true, right?
It's
like,
part
if
of
you
it.
Want to run, if you want to roll Carol and I don't know which Dr. Jekyll fucking Morgan you're going to get, and you want to run Daryl and you and the people you know can fucking just wipe them out and not really think too much about it and have moral dilemmas, and that's what you do, but all these other people involved, you have to have a contingency. Like, dude, what if we break into a room and there's like six kids and a bunch of guys in there and they're like, oh shit, we surrender. You're going to slaughter them all? Like, what? That's what I mean. You have to have a plan for this. You take fucking prisoners, man. That's, you have to be able to, you have to set yourself up to take some prisoners.
Yeah. No, that I totally agree with. That they had to have something prepared for that, which
but
they don't.
But clearly they're not. So in this case, it's just, okay, now we're going to argue. And that's another thing. There's no clear distinction here. Like, well, these two chuckleheads are arguing. They could have got killed. Like, this guy could have killed one of them easily while they were arguing about whatever bullshit they're arguing about.
That is 100% for sure.
So I don't know. I mean, it's just, if you stop to think, and that's when things get a little dicey, I guess is my fucking whole point on this rant I'm going on.
Oh, God.
Sorry, man.
Right. So long story short, they get the better of this shit fuck again.
100% again. Yep. With Jesus' karate.
Karate.
Oh, yeah. Cha-cha. Got you.
And now what I was saying, I'm not super interested in this whole scene, the exchange here, is that I like Tara a lot. Like, she's a character I've come to actually really like. And she's, I don't know, she just didn't get to do much interesting stuff this episode, in my opinion.
It's not that interesting to take a person who's really nice and innocent, somebody gets lost, now she's going to be ruthless and blah, 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 right?
Yeah.
That's the thing. We've seen this before.
Yeah.
But
like, I want to see something different out of her.
Mm. Yeah, well. Shitty Blake Shelton goes down.
they hog tie him up. I mean, that's something they can bring, just lengths of rope to tie people up.
Mm. Zip ties, baby.
Zip ties. The great zip tie debate of 2017.
2018, but yeah. Oh, you're talking about now. Yeah, talking about, I'm sorry, I'm retarded. So anyway, where to now?
Where to now? I mean, I guess...
Which part should we go to now for me to poop on?
For me to poop on. Oh, fuck. I miss Triumph.
Me too.
Shit was good. Could you not tell by our shitty senses of humor, listener? Fucking Triumph fans of you. Jesus. Christ. Well, you know, I think we should roll back.
Ezekiel and Carol?
Yeah, because I think Morgan's...
Let us tell
mission.
About the bard and the tales of warrior justice and fantasy elements and bags of tricks and magic blades and providence.
and the time I escaped an accursed jester by the name of Pippi Touch.
Pippi Touch can't get me. All right.
Oh, fuck.
Go ahead.
So yeah, because I mean, Morgan's little side mission, we can come back to later, that kind of starts in earnest when he stops playing possum and gets up. Mm-hmm. But we should roll back to, which really we got the start of last week when we see
the grenade. Yeah.
Yeah. Grenade goes off and I think we realize it's a smoke grenade, you know, and it goes down, everybody's down and they start to wake back up here. I'm not, I guess, wake up, but get off the ground kind of in
disoriented. Yep.
Disoriented. Yeah. And zombies are pouring through the smoke and that shit, man, this like the fucking organ playing and them standing up through the smoke and zombies just pouring out on them as they have to just suddenly start fighting them, you know, hand to hand. That is classic Walking Dead shit that I am never not going to love. I love it.
Yep.
I'm about it.
I dug it. I dug it too. I didn't love the opening scene with all the face close-ups.
Oh yeah. We didn't even talk about that. There's this intensive, long, slow-mo face close-ups with like, meditative music
it's weird.
I'm like, are we supposed to wonder about who's gonna die? Is that what you're trying to emphasize? I don't know.
Anyway, these guys come to in the fog and what's his name breaks out his fucking cane sword because he's Dracula. Black Dracula.
Because he's the fucking drug boss in Predator 2.
This ain't about money. This is about power.
About the power. I gave it about cut to his head being cut off.
What was his name? Something Willie? One-eyed Willie? I don't know what the fuck his
oh,
name.
Oh shit. What was his name? Somebody in chat knows that
it's
shit.
Willie.
Alvarez, come on. Somebody. Fuck. Rob just busted your balls about disorientated, by the way.
Yeah, I know. I said after I said it, disorientated or disoriented.
Don't you love that? Don't you love that as a podcaster when you say a thing out loud and you're like, ah, fuck.
You talk for 400 hours, you fuck. See what happens. Yeah. Just kidding. Rob knows I love him. Hey, check this out. Hey. His name is King Willie.
Is it?
King Willie, man.
King Willie, man. The Rastaman warrior.
That's the guy. Jamaican as fuck.
Buffalo samurai.
Yes. Fighting the scorpions. Yeah, his rivals were the Colombian Scorpions, just so you know. He was part of the Jamaican Voodoo Posse, which...
Fighting the Scorpions.
Jamaican Voodoo Posse? That's pretty on the nose, I guess.
They called themselves the Jamaican Voodoo Posse?
They did, man.
You can't just call yourselves the Voodoo Posse and then people put two and two together and they see all the black dudes with dreads hanging out, smoking a lot of weed. You don't think you can put two and two?
There's no stopping what can't be stopped. No killing what can't be killed.
We gotta know, we gotta let them know we're from Zion, baby.
Hey, what about that theater, pup? I don't know. That's the fucking shit right there.
Put Jamaican in the name, man. Do it. Fuck. That's ridiculous.
Jesus Christ.
All right. It's The Walking Dead.
So Ezekiel. It's apparently King Willie when he breaks out a cane sword.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, dude. I'm about it.
Yeah. Of course.
Love it. Fucking love it.
Dude, if that cane sword was shaped like a giant dick, you'd love it.
If it was a sharp enough dick. Fuck yeah.
I fucking love it.
I fucking love it. Stand with me, Karen. Stand with me.
This ain't about money, man. This is about power. All right.
But no, I'm not gonna lie. What I like in this scene is one of the things I like about the scene is honestly fucking Ezekiel's unflagging confidence. Like there is a, you know, it kind of goes back to one of his first interactions with Carol when he was talking to her about, like, when he kind of sheds the voice for a second. He's like, it's a put on. Yeah. And like, but people need that. Like, he understands a pretty vital thing about being a public leader of, like, people need.
People not need. people need.
Fuck you.
A guy who thinks he's the fucking commander of the Renfair Geek Squad. They need that in their lives.
Fuck yeah.
They
Hell
need
yes.
that.
Well, I need it. Fuck yeah, baby.
Did he, like, did they go to the fucking Warhammer tournament and scoop all these guys up?
Scooped them. One guy's got a battle axe, for God's sake.
I know.
But I mean, he understands that people follow that like charisma, the big personality, the outsized person with the confidence and the positivity and fucking this crazy affect image of a king. Like, it's totally wild fantasy comic bullshit, but I kind of like that he owns it so hard that it comes back around again to like, it's totally on its face silly as shit, but he owns it so completely that you kind of start to admire him for it again. Like fuck, this dude really is charging into battle with the fucking sword drawn and a tiger along his side. He talks like a silly Shakespeare character, but fuck, I want to fight for him. Like, I love it. I love that he completely inhabits it and is going to be the king leading them to victory through and through. Even if he internally doesn't believe it, on the outside, he's not letting that show. Like, it's cool. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
No, that's good. I like what you did there.
All right. Boy, shoulder's getting real tired.
There will be no fantasies of failure this day, Matthew. We will press on despite your white friend Dean's negativity. Nay, we will not let this storm cloud rain down upon our kingdom of positivity. Did you like that?
Yeah.
This ain't about the money. So, yeah, man. Fake it till you make it, bro. That's what he says.
Yeah, pretty much. That's it. Yeah. That's it, man. He takes that little maxim to like the absolute logical extreme of like, I'm gonna fucking own this. I'm gonna fake being a fucking old world king and all the way through fighting people with a sword.
Mm. Yeah. You wanna talk about Daryl walking around with a fucking fuck off with the crossbow?
Dude, yeah. That
I hope you don't miss.
I know. Because
you're dead.
Oh,
if I got a gun, you're dead.
That scene, god damn it. That when they were walking around, I have no defense for this. When they were walking around through that, okay, you know, one thing I want to read real quick though. Like I took a long look at Rick's note when they go up in there, when they go up in the top floor of the building, they're looking for. So for one, they're here looking for guns, for weapons. And he says on the note, there's heavy guns upstairs, 50 cal Browning at Shepherd Office Plaza. And I'm pretty sure it says on the note, and I think even the scene is kind of trying to imply that it's a little bit smeared, a little bit hard for him to read. But it says, I'm pretty sure no upper lookouts, roof damaged, access by the stairway or elevator shaft. And just, you know, and a few other things. I think even at the bottom of the page, you can kind of see it's something talking about not moving in. The dead will do the work. So I think it's kind of like that's part of Aaron's plan there. But what they're up here doing is looking for weapons. And they know, to their credit, they're fairly sure that there's not at least lookouts up like on the roof or on the upper level. But they're still not sure. You can't be sure until you're in there.
Right.
If there's people inside of it. And that's where fucking Daryl walking around with a crossbow is just insane. Like, you're going to breach rooms with God knows how many people in there armed with who knows what with a single shot fucking arrow. Like, that is stupid as shit. Oh, that's so stupid. Like, damn it.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, what are you going to do? Right.
I wanted to it'd be fixed so easily by him just slinging the crossbow over his shoulder, and he pulls out the pistol and starts walking through the pistol. I'm like, cool, great. That's all you need to do for me. Come on.
Hey, by the way, when did Daryl order a voice modulator? He sounds like he's starting to sound like Batman. It's pretty intense. Like that.
All those Apocalypse Marlboro Reds catching up with him.
Yeah, I guess. So he finds what looks like a place where somebody was a prisoner. Daryl.
Yeah. There's like another little room with just like
a half-eaten burrito, sandwich. Which is a fucking tragedy. Oh, it's a sandwich.
It's a sandwich or burrito or something.
I think you're right. A can in a bloody cuff, and then there's this amazing character moment out of Norman Reedus where he looks down. I mean, it's brilliant. He literally looks down at nothing. And I just know that in that moment, he's contemplating his own capture. I mean, wow. I was floored. Were you?
Yeah. Fucking floored. Jesus. You fuck. You break your fucking desk with your little flapping feeties flying around the air.
Why were you laughing? Why were you laughing? I was trying to make a serious fucking point.
Fuck you. Fuck you. Oh my God. Shoulders getting so tired over here, man. Mm-hmm. Fucking. Mm-hmm. The whole writing staff on my back.
It's all good, man.
Shit.
Fuck. Karen's gonna tell on me when she meets Norman Reedus. I like Norman Reedus. I just don't like Daryl.
I love Daryl, but nothing that's happened to him in the past half season, total at least.
Oh
at
yeah, least, he got captured for like 5 minutes.
Huh?
He got captured for two. That's what we just saw. That second when he's looking on the floor is awesome.
They either need to give him something to fucking do at this point, other than being Rick's, I don't know, bloodhound. He needs something to do, or I'm not gonna lie, they need to fucking kill him. Like, it's one or the other. We're at a crossroads here at Walking Dead. Something fucking needs to be done.
Yeah.
You can't just be feral, competent with a weapon, sad boy. Like, that can't be the only thing he is.
Elias.
I'm mad that they didn't go somewhere more with his relationship with Carol. It doesn't even have to be a romantic thing. Just something more. Like, their bond needed to be explored more. Their friendship. Something. We basically got two episodes of that, and that was it. 100 fucking episodes. God damn it.
Yeah. He was awesome back in the day.
Fucking was. He tossed a grenade into a tank gun, baby. I'll never forget. It was cool shit.
He was awesome back in the day.
Jesus.
He talks less now than he did when he first started. Isn't that weird?
Yeah. It sucks is what it is. Damn it.
Yeah. Damn. All right. Let's talk about... What else does Daryl do? That's all Daryl does, right? You want to talk about the Rick Brigade?
That's it. That's all Daryl does.
Daryl walks in and he looks down at the floor. Mm. Thinks about eating the fucking sandwich. Is that bologna? Is that baloney? Because that's my favorite.
Here's the actual script. Here's the text from the official script. Daryl walks down the hallway, peers left, peers right, opens a door. It is obvious that this door was once a cell for holding prisoners. Food is on the floor. Handcuffs are against some railing. Daryl. Cut to Rick. That's it.
The script probably said, Daryl enters room, which is littered with whatever describing that part of it. And then they relied on him to do more. And they're like, all right, I don't want to give you stage direction, but this is what you're feeling. The director's like, this reminds you of this. This reminds you of that. And cut.
And remember, no words. Distill that feeling into a grunt, please. Mm-hmm. That's what we want. Jesus.
All right.
Let's get to the Rick stuff.
All right. Let's talk about Rick.
So Rick, as they're going around.
Okay, thank God for Andrew Lincoln, okay?
Dude, he's so fucking good.
Because without him, dum da dum 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 dum.
Ah, Jesus. Well, he finds a very well-maintained living quarters. I mean, he finds a bedroom. He finds... You know, an area where somebody, this isn't just a storage facility, a warehouse for the Saviors. Somebody fucking lives in here. And he gets fucking ambushed by a guy. And they start to fighting.
They get to fighting.
What do you think of this fight sequence? There's some stuff in, it's weird. This fight was a little half and half for me. There was some stuff I really liked
there's,
in this fight
there's
sequence.
There's good and bad.
Some stuff that was a little hokey.
There's a good and bad. The show is, I don't know who's doing their fight stuff, but. There's some stuff that needs work.
Yeah.
I do like the. I mean, Rick gets grabbed from behind. The guy, they kind of roll around and do like they're kind of doing mufflers, like face mufflers and eye pokes and shit. And then the guy sort of mounts Rick and starts punching him, which I like. I'm like, cool, this guy's big. And then Rick does the thing where he punches the guy from the bottom, and the guy goes flying. That never happens.
That never.
You can generate zero force from your back. Watch any UFC fight ever. If you sit on somebody's chest and they punch you, you're going to be like, okay, that's annoying. Now I'm going to fucking drill you, right? You have no power when you're laying on your back punching. That's one thing movies do all the time and TV. It's so stupid.
It's really stupid.
I like how Rick goes for the sidearm to try to shoot him. I think that's awesome. There's a moment where Rick has a second. He should have went right to the hatchet. I feel like there's too many opportunities to go for your wonderful killing weapon. A great killer of white people. That weapon throughout history.
Wait, what?
The hatchet. The axe.
Oh, the hatchet.
Yeah. From the Franks to the Native Americans. Come on, man. You do a lot of killing with an axe. A little hand axe.
Oh, yeah.
And then he kind of has like a neck crank, but it's not really a neck crank. He doesn't have a rear
his
naked
boot. His kick to the dude's face, I'm quite a fan
that,
of.
That's good.
I'm going to be writing that kick fan mail.
Yeah, a kick. That was good dude, shit. A stomp. I've seen guys in the UFC get knocked out with that back in the day. I saw it in a pride fight. A guy was on his back and the other guy was standing up. And the guy came in low to try to like pass his guard and mount him. The guy just went boom and fucking stomp kicked him and KO'd him. The dude goes, gets all goofy and falls. The guy pops up and like punches him a couple times. I was like, holy shit. He got caught coming in with like a stomp in the face. So that's definitely a legit, like, you don't want to get stomped in the face ever.
No.
Even if somebody's on their back, you can still generate a ton of force with a stomp in the face. So I thought that was kind of cool.
Also, hey, shining moment for the guy he's fighting.
Yeah, upkicked.
When Rick pulls Rob fucking Z gun
says,
on him.
Sorry, Rob Z said upkicked. That's what they call it in the UFC. Upkick.
When the dude pulls the fucking, Rick pulls a fucking gun on him, dude pushes it, like grabs it by the fucking barrel, tears it out of his hand. I was like, damn, this dude's no joke. Like, this dude's fighting hard.
Yeah.
Like, he's not a bitch.
Yeah.
Grab a gun.
And then when Rick grabs the guy from behind,
he lets himself get hoisted up too for a second, and like the guy runs around on him like he's giving a toddler a fucking piggyback.
Yeah.
I was like, that, can't be letting that shit happen.
Right. There's a couple things there's one thing I like. So Rick's choke technique is terrible. It's dog shit. It's awful. The guy's instinct to reach up and grab Rick's forearm is very real. Like, I like that. I thought that was kind of cool that he was trying to do that. If he would have slapped that choke in better, the guy would have been fucking strangled out asleep so fast. It would have been awesome. That kind of bothered me. And then turning him, the guy like, yeah, he runs him around. I totally forgot about that. I'm watching it now. He runs around and then Rick just spins him into the fucking, that shelf holder from IKEA. And like that, impales
that
his.
That pierces his melon skin.
His 225-pound man chest. It's like, okay, that's fine, whatever. It's cool. It's comic book shit. That's definitely a comic book thing. Whatever. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of opportunity. Like once Rick had the choke in on the guy, if he was struggling with it, Rick could have probably literally pushed the guy away, grabbed the hatchet, and just fucking hacked him. Like the hatchet had to come into that. He had so many opportunities to go for it.
Totally.
You know?
That's what... Oh. I do miss, goddamn, I miss the season 4 Ender Rick of fucking grabbing Joe and biting his fucking neck out. Like, give me that. That's some hardcore shit I want.
Yeah. Anyway. So yeah, Rick beats him up and kills him. It would have been cool if he just strangled him to death. I didn't need the cinematic thing. If he slapped a real hard choke on him from behind, like a rear naked choke, just slapped it in and put him to sleep. That would have been cool.
Yeah. That's something you don't see much in TV or movies. They always act like chokes are just a thing to be struggled against. Like, they either kill you with a choke or you just struggle against it and then punch somebody. Like,
it's true.
You never just get knocked out with a fucking hardcore choke.
Yeah, it's weird. And it's a bit of a misnomer. And I think we've talked about this before. There's choking and then there's strangulation. They're very different things.
Right.
Choking is like you're attacking somebody's air, the ear. You're going after the air.
Yeah.
That's like going for windpipe shit, which of course is devastating, but not as fast as shutting off your blood supply to your brain, which when you do a choke correctly, you're attacking the the two arteries in the sides of the neck. And that's where you go to sleep quickly, pretty quick.
Go night-night.
You go night-night pretty quick. But then you wake up pretty quick, too, you know?
Yeah.
You, the guy goes out, you stand up, you pick his legs up, and he's like, oh, what? Oh, like I choked out.
It'd be just enough time to pull a hatchet out of his teeth and bust up a melon.
Well, that's not to say if you don't hold a choke tool, like again, they call it a choke, but if you hold that strangulation long, somebody will just die. Like if you hold it too long.
Right.
I've seen some pretty bad ones in like, not UFC, but I was watching Pride once and a guy got caught in like a guillotine, so you couldn't really see his face and his hands were kind of tied up so he couldn't tap. And the guy was like fucking holding it for a while and the ref runs over and he's watching. And I'm like, man, that guy's been out a while and he's still holding the technique. So the ref slaps the guy on the back getting choked. And when he doesn't respond, he fucking like broke him up. It's funny too, because you'd think the guy on the bottom would be like, oh, I can definitely feel him go out. Like you feel his weight kind of shift on you weird.
Yeah.
You'd think the guy would let go, but I think he was like kind of waiting and excited.
As his brain shuts down and he turns into Tobin for the rest of his life.
That's so fucked. I love it.
I used to be UFC fighter. Now I pet rabbits too hard.
Shit. Anyway, I spent way too much time talking about strangulation, but that's...
yeah. Boy, I'm sorry for the runaways in your neck of the woods, Dean.
Yeah. I'll slap a rear naked on a 16-year-old with a quickness. But, yeah, they're piling up, you know.
Got that John Wayne Gacy basement. Just getting just too many.
Too many, man. Happy Halloween.
This has been our spooky episode. Oh, fuck.
Goofy. That's why people like, have you ever seen people with, they have shirts or ties too tight? And they sit, oh, I'm not even joking, dude. I've had a doctor tell me about people passing out from ties and shirts.
No.
Yeah, they put them on like it's a little too tight and then they sit weird and it like, and they fucking start to black out, man. It's fucking hilarious, man. It's so funny.
Nothing better for your body image than being like, actually, you're so too fat for that shirt and tie that you made your brain go quiet.
I always get them a little loose. That shit drives me nuts, man.
That's hilarious. Good God.
Yeah.
How do you... Oh, man, that's so... I can't imagine anything being that tight on me. Fuck. I couldn't stand it.
Yeah, and if anybody ever asks you... why they call it a naked choke? It's because they're not choking you with your clothing.
Ah,
yeah.
Ah, I see.
There's a lot of gi chokes. You can choke a guy with a gi, and that's not considered a naked choke. It's naked because you're choking him without the assistance of clothing.
And while making sweet tender love.
That's the good old fashioned caveman style.
While being while penetrating to the hilt, you choke him out.
Every time I think of that, I think of that chick from Archer.
That's right.
She just imagines getting strangled by a firefighter while he bangs her. It's so funny. Anyway.
All right. It's a walking death.
So David Carradine.
Sorry. Too soon. Still too soon.
That's not what they mean when they say naked choke. Okay.
No, that one came with an assist.
Rick finds a baby.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. That's about it.
What are you going to do with
get
that?
There.
What are you going to do with that baby, Rick?
So here we begin. We have Rick on the... this is Rick standing on the line again. This is not committed to, I will chop a dude's face open with a fucking machete in a prison for like basically nothing, Rick. And he's also not, you know... Peaceful farmer Rick, like where he's kind of wobbling on the line, it seems like. And this moment's really trying to like hammer that home of like he's pursuing this much more, you know, revenge hardcore path, you know, because of having to deal with Negan, but he is still kind of uncomfortable with the consequences.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, and somebody, I think it was Floyd Fry pointed out that the little bunny we see inside the crib with this baby is the same one we see with Judith in the flash forward from the first episode.
Mm-hmm.
That, and he was making, and he was.
Do we know that's Judith for sure?
That's what Floyd was saying. And for me, I go, yeah, I think that's still Judah. I think maybe in the next episode we're going to see Rick take this bunny. I don't know. And for one, I think for sure if he ends up killing Morales, which we haven't talked about coming back here.
Oh, Jesus.
I know. If he ends up killing him, I think he would adopt the baby. And I'm saying, not saying personally, but I think they would take the baby back. Like, they're not just gonna fucking, they're not going to train spot this baby, just leave it in a fucking corner to let it die. Like, Jesus. I think they would take it home. But I don't think in the flash forward we're meant to think that, oh, he took Morales' baby and this is actually her. I don't think. I mean, hey, does it really fucking matter? I don't know.
Don't know.
I'm not too worried about it either way. I think regardless, they're not going to let this baby die, period. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Rick is torn up about this. Like he's bothered by this. It's like it is kind of interesting thinking about, like, there's a part of him that was so kind of shut down that just remembering that these are people that could have children is kind of like a shock to him. That he's so just shut out of, like, these are the fucking enemy. That's it. We're here to kill them all. That he would forget that he would take this kind of reminder.
Yeah. I think that's the only way. And the guy was obviously protecting the baby. He didn't want Rick to go in that room, right?
Exactly.
Obviously his baby. So TK kind of just took the words out of my mouth in the chat. I think he's thinking, oh my God, they are people. But I'm thinking, yeah, fuck them. We got a new baby. Right? Fuck them. I mean, we got a new baby.
We got another baby. Who wants a baby?
We got a baby. Who needs a baby? You want a baby?
Who wants this here baby?
I get you a baby by 3:30.
You just hold it up by the leg. Mm-hmm. Who wants this here baby? Who wants to raise one?
Yeah. So Rick's broken up about the fact that he's killing people, I guess, for a split second, but I think he'll be fine. You know, we already talked about Eric's leaky guts, right?
I got the leaky guts.
He got leaky guts.
Oh, Aaron. He's like, yeah, Aaron runs up. Oh, my God, you've been shot. He's like, no, I just got the leakies. Ooh, they're coming out of my belly button again.
It's just a bunch of marinara and spaghetti coming out.
I eat so much, it just bursts out of my belly button. And Aaron's like, fuck, I told you not to eat so much spaghetti. Mm, we're going to war. Stop eating spaghetti.
I like it.
Silly.
Yeah. But Morales, dude, I mean, I got to tell you, the anticipation I had for this moment was up there.
Through the roof.
Whenever I saw Morales' face, and I knew who it was immediately when I saw him, I thought, Walking Dead, you've done it. You've done it. You have reached deep into a character that we always knew we'd probably see again, and you brought him back. And now, season 8 looks very hopeful. So, I was excited. How about you?
Wow. And that's it, ladies and gentlemen. You just, you've heard it. The winner of the Snide Award of the Year goes to fucking Dean Martin.
Whoa, he's what? Earned it. This is a Travis Shamokery. I'm being honest here, pal.
Are you?
How dare you, Matthew? How dare you? You don't know about how me and Morales go way back.
Oh, my God.
About how much I was a fan of him when he was at the CDC with his other group.
I do. That I read about. I do remember your Morales t-shirt. I remember that.
Free Morales now, bitch.
Fuck.
So now that we know how I felt about it, how do you feel?
I had kind of forgotten who he was. I'm not even going to lie. I did have this question of, like, man, what about that Morales guy? Back in like season 4, I was like, is he ever going to show up again? He didn't die. He didn't go out.
When did you think that?
Like I just said, like kind of back in like season 3 or 4, I remember kind of wondering about people who were in the past of the show if they were going to show up again. And he was kind of one of them. Mm-hmm. That was 4 seasons ago. I've pretty much forgotten about the guy's existence now. And I was like, I had to go. I was like, Morales, what did he do again?
Season 1, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. And I watched some like clips of him back in it and stuff to kind of refresh my memory.
When you saw him, what did you think? Do you know what I wanted? You know what I thought?
What?
Oh, shit. Some guy captured Rick.
Yeah.
I didn't recognize him. Nobody did.
Nobody did, dude. When Rick was
actually
saying,
some fucking Walking Dead super fan right now pushing their glasses up. Actually, I knew exactly who it was.
Karen's gonna be fucking coming for your head. Fucking coming for your head with a fucking Ezekiel sword.
Dude, when you watch a Walking Dead fucking marathon every 6 days, you're gonna just know this shit.
Every 5 days. Start it over. Jesus Christ.
Oh, man. I don't know.
But no, I remembered him a while back, and I remember, you know, just him being a part of things back in season one, but I didn't think much about it. It took Brick being like, you were at Atlanta. And I was like, oh, wait, is this that guy? Like, and I had to go look. And of course, the internet is just like boiling over with everybody being like, it's Morales from season one. And I was like, oh, damn.
Yeah,
really?
Cool. Awesome. I looked in the credits too.
Truly forgot about him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot. I forgot, man.
Yeah.
Well, he's back. Here he is.
There he is.
What I can't figure out is what the show wants us to feel about this. Because, I mean, like, the idea that, for one, I do think there could be a possibility of a compelling story of how Morales got, and I don't twist what I'm saying. Like, I don't want a background how Morales got here governor backstory episode.
I hope to God,
dude,
we get that episode. Please.
Please
have an episode called Morales. Please. Please.
Oh. You know what? I'll even throw it a bone. If they did, then you could do that, and it'd be interesting. But I'm worried
about.
I would
be on the edge of my seat.
Fuck you! Oh my god! Fucking snide of the year. It's that kind of snide. Oh baby, please.
You can just call. Hey, look, you can just call me a cunt. It's okay.
Fucking cunt.
But listen,
Dean Martin, now that you've conquered the Snideys, what is your next award you're going to fucking go for? You've stormed the stage here.
Pretending I know something about infantry tactics.
Beautiful. It's many in the running.
Pretending I know something about infantry tactics when I talk about this shit.
Oh my God.
But look, we're having fun. I'm not over here just pooping. We're having a good time. Right.
You're over here picking up your poop and throwing it at the Walking Dead.
But it's a fun throwing. I'm like, you guys, we're just one of the guys. Right? We're having fun.
Shit.
We're not funny. Just dumping. It's a good dump. It's a fun dump.
Oh, fuck. Well, what I'm saying as far as Morales goes, how is he going to fit in as a character to this? For one, I couldn't tell you. I wouldn't want to bet whether he lives or dies in the next episode. I'm like, this, I could see the show just wasting him next episode, or him becoming some kind of another secondary character who's actually in it for a while. I don't know. I actually don't know how they're going to use him in that sense, but I do like the idea. Like I was saying, I don't want a fucking episode about Morales' backstory. But I do want Rick to talk to him about it. Like, I'm kind of interested in Rick seeing, you know, we've talked about this way back, kind of people who went on divergent paths, like from the same place as him, from Atlanta, from the same group. You know, Rick's ended up where he has, and this guy's ended up where he has, on the total opposites of it. Like, and I know some people were being like, oh, how unrealistic. This other guy from Atlanta made it all the way up to Virginia, the same place they are, with the saviors who they're fighting. I'm like, well, if the world is as small as it is at this point and people are kind of draining towards the same place because there's not too many places to go and you're kind of
it's
following.
It's true. There's only, I don't know, 49 other states?
Fucker. Just like, I can imagine places and people, like groupings of people kind of being like a, I don't know. I don't know how to say it exactly. But like,
hey,
word gets
hey,
out, you know? Like,
you're reaching. You're reaching, baby.
Fuck
I could see how, you know, maybe.
Shoulders, so tired. So tired. The whole team.
Look, I understand Portland's very insular and you guys all know each other. And, but it's a big world out there, kid. Although I will say, Walking Dead has proved time and again that people tend to all run into each other, right? But it's not completely and utterly inexplicable, but it's a little out there. And well, not only that, but who gives a fuck? I mean, who cares?
Who fucking cares?
Gimple was like, ooh, we took a hit with our Latin viewers.
Let's pump another one on there.
We got a Morales or a Martinez we can whip up? Fucking guy. That's what he was thinking.
Wow, I didn't know Scott Gimple was Harvey Weinstein.
He is. Gimme a pussy. Oh, hey. Karen Loma said, where's Heath? Yes, where's Heath? Exactly.
Dude, fucking A about
There's
that.
There's a character that they should bring back that didn't go anywhere, didn't die, and has been recently in the show that we give a shit about. Bring back Heath.
Dude, if Heath never comes back,
and
to
where
show,
the fuck is Rosita? Oh, she's on the she's on the mend, right? She's hurt.
Yeah,
got it.
That's it.
Who else is at home? Carl.
Yeah,
Heath will be back now that 24 is canceled.
Oh, it got canceled. Oh shit!
Come to find out, you can only do that so many times.
Fucking hell!
So, baby Morales. I call in the saviors, Holmes. Hey, fucker, look at me. I call my wife, Overlord, to come get you. Scoop you up. Says if I do good things, I get extra supper. So fuck you, bro. Hey, look at me, bro. I don't give a fuck, bro. This shit's hard in the... Look at me, bro. This shit's hard in the streets, I say.
Now that you kill his daddy, I'm gonna fucking eat that baby.
Hey, bro. Fuck you, bro. These are my colors, bro. Listen, Holmes. So that's what's happening, I guess.
That's it.
Hey, bro. The white.
And he puts on his Raiders 5950 hat. The end.
Hey, bro. Marshawn Lynch is pretty good, okay? That fucker can run, bro. That fucker can run. He's fucking funny on Conan, bro.
I'm fucking dying. Jesus Christ. You've killed me. This is it.
Did I give you cancer?
This is it. I have snide cancer. Jesus.
I'm not saying he's Le'Veon Bell, fuckers. I'm just saying he can hit a hole, bro. Fuck, bro.
Fuck. And Morgan wants to kill the prisoners, and Jesus is all like, nah.
Listen, look at me, bro. Hey, Rick, where were you, bro? Blood in, blood out, essay. That's all I got. I'm out. I'm done. Are we done with the show?
And he just drop kicks that baby through a window.
Any final thoughts? Let's go. I gotta go to bed.
Fuck.
You got a listener comment you want to read that supports your arguments? Go ahead.
Hold on. You got any?
Huh. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got a bunch on my...
Fucking course you don't.
I got a bunch.
You got your little fucking Snide Award speech all folded up in your tuxedo pocket.
I can't wait for the one stars I get today. I'm going to get a fucking dump truck of ones. No, seriously, do you have anybody you want to read? I wasn't fucking
with you. Oh, hey, by the way, internet, Glenn died. Glenn dies. He's the one that Negan kills. Hey, whoops, spoilers. Suck the shit out of my ass.
That guy was so mad at you. Guy's so bad. Okay. What do you got? I got somebody. Michael Claudio.
I'm trying to find it. All right.
Ready?
Go.
Michael Claudio, and you're going to... Be proud of the fact that I picked Michael Claudio. To play devil's advocate, Jesus is doing the right thing. Do we all want to be like Negan? I mean, sure. He has some awesome lines. His people love/fear him, and he gets shit done. But if our crew goes off and kills all the saviors who are just trying to survive this post-apocalyptic world, is our group any better than Negan? The answer, no! We're trying to build... It was rhetorical. The answer, no, we are trying to build a new world, a better world, a whiter world. Just kidding. I was editorializing. A better world than the one Negan has created. We can't go around murdering everyone in order to gain their loyalty. No, we need to bring these people in, show them that we are better, and then they will turn on him. Through Jesus, all things are possible.
through the Jesus.
What'd you think of that?
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. How magnanimous of you to read from your opposition.
You fuck. Look, it's going to be great. Look, we're going to bring him back. He's going to be the guy. Look,
little Morales.
We're going to bring back Morales. It's going to be great. Look, we're going to open up a little side door in the wall. Let him in.
It's going to be a small door. He's going to have to crawl.
He's going to have to be okay with that. Look, it's going to be great. I want him to crawl. I don't have the dignity to walk. So my ratings can go up. Look, Mr. Gimple Trump. Sorry. All right. Go ahead. What do you got?
Mr. Grump. All right. I got one from Mr. Tim Bland. I'm so glad that Morgan picked up some guns and got out of his Donatello phase. I thought that he would have been a great asset when he was in his clear mode and had an entire small neighborhood on lockdown back in season 3. But when he went all peaceful with Mojitsu, I was disappointed. So Tim's happy to see a murderous Morgan running about again. And honestly, I'm kind of with him on that.
Yeah.
There was a part of me that just wanted Jesus to unleash him, to be like, nah, fuck these prisoners. Like, there's the darker part. Like, the morality-loving side of me was like, no, fucking lame, but Jesus is right. But the other part of me is like, nah, just let Morgan waste him.
You know who they could have killed? They could have killed the guy Jared, and nobody would have fucking said boo, including his own guys, because they know he's a piece of shit.
Yeah. Now, that's the thing.
That guy, they
should have
let him go.
I really wanted I wanted the closing moment of this to be kind of like what we were talking about when it was Tara and Jesus, where like we almost wanted Tara to just waste the guy and then it to just be a point of contention between the two. Like I wanted me like Morgan to just look at Jesus when Jesus was like, no, we can't. They've given up the prisoners. And to just look over at the guy and blow him away and then look back at Jesus like, all right, well, I got mine. I got that one. Like now what? Like, oh, I would have loved that. Fuck. Mm. Would have loved that.
Who do you have?
I just read mine.
No, I mean, anybody else?
Oh.
I don't. I'm just curious if you did.
I'm trying to find Karen. Ah, there she is. All right. So, I can never overlook Karen Eagle Eye Lomas. She says, it's obvious when none of the main characters are storming an outpost, it's not going to end well. If I were told I was heading off to battle with Eric, Aaron, Francine, Tobin, and Scott, I'd ask Rick, what the hell did I ever do to you? That's a suicide run. Then again, Rick killing the man with the tattoo on his chest, Gracie, then seeing baby Gracie, maybe it's just as well I'm not there. I love Terminator Morgan. I don't die. Careful there, Morgan. You don't want to get cocky. It would have been amazing if Morgan had a machine gun when he went outside and saw Jesus and the Saviors. He should have shot down every last one and then shot Jesus.
Yikes.
He just had one of the Saviors piss himself and try to kill you, and now you want to save the rest of them? I don't get it. Has Jesus become the new moral compass? He'll be the very first MC that lives to the very last episode. I don't care what anyone else thinks my favorite show. This episode... my favorite of this episode has to be Ezekiel. I love him, and I'm hoping Carol does too. When he breaks, you gotta fake it till you make it. I love him. Who else talks that way in an apocalypse?
Kaplow. Good shit.
Kaplow. You know, and I'm with her as far as Ezekiel front goes too. I want another Ezekiel-helmed episode, to be honest. Like, where it's not Ezekiel's in it, and he's a part of it. I want an Ezekiel-focused one. That one back in season 7, the second episode where we're introduced to him, that was such a good one. That was one of the better of the season.
It'd be cool if we could get one of him working on his accent in the mirror. Like his...
Ha, 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 fee, fi, fo, fum.
Fee, 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 fee.
Ha, 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 ha. How now, brown cow.
Awesome. Yeah. All right. Well, happy Halloween, fuckers. And hope you enjoyed this week's episode. I had a fucking blast. That's for sure. Hope you guys did too. Did you have a blast, Matt? Come on.
Something.
Yeah, it's good time,
brother. I'm never going to be in the running for the Snidies. Not like you.
No. You fucking come for the champ. You better come heavy. You better come heavy. All right, we'll catch you next week. Check you later. All right, everybody. Thank you for tuning into another episode of The Walking Dead Podcast by LSG Media. If you like what you heard, remember to share the episode with friends. Get us out there. Get our name out there. Help us out. And you know what? Check out LibertyStreetGeek.net. We got all kinds of podcasts over there. Plenty to listen to. Science fiction, film, Game of Thrones, True Detective, and more. All right. We'll see you next time.